Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, thanks for joining us today on the program. Been a busy day throughout the course of the day today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. You've heard the comments of Gus Bradley this morning, Dave Caldwell, and Doug Marone this afternoon. Let's say hello to the boys from Jaguars Monday. That's JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Pete Prisco. Tony, how you feeling?
Better, Frank. It was a rough one yesterday as you were had first front row seats to it, but it was...
You got it out, though. You got it out.
It was not very good, though. I'll just be honest with you.
You played hurt, Baselli?
Pete, I was so sick yesterday. First of all, I gave it up in the bathroom multiple times before kickoff yesterday.
Whoa.
And then had a fever and was freezing cold. I must have had like 8 layers on. I had a stocking cap on in the press box. I mean, I looked like I was getting ready to go on a... Antarctica.
So you have a flu then or something?
Yeah,
no?
I don't know.
It had to be.
I slept. I went right to the bus, slept from the bus till we got to the plane, however long that was, and slept on the entire plane ride, got home, went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night in just sweats. So it was I went and watched the some of the tape again, Dave Frank. I don't remember half the plays.
The best moment in
oh, it was
all
terrible.
Had, by the way.
It was terrible.
The best moment we've all had them.
I thought they scored a touchdown.
Tony looks up and they're lining up for a field goal and the clock's running and Nick Novak kicks the field goal and Tony goes, "Look, I know I'm sick, but when do you start running the clock on an extra point?" And Jeff and I both said, "Well, it was actually a field goal." He goes, "Okay, never mind. It was awesome. It was awesome." So,
oh man, I was bad. It was tough. Tough going.
Yeah,
tough day all the way around.
You gutted it out for sure. All right, Pete, I've heard everybody else's thoughts. Gus Bradley out today after 14 games this year. Doug Marone, the interim coach. Dave Caldwell will still be here as the general manager to coordinate the search for the next coach. From 10,000 feet, what's your overview?
Well, it was weird the way it played out, the dynamic of the timing of it and everything, I thought. Unless he knew last week and they just said you coach the game and then he was going, which it sounds like. But, what's the point for two games more to get a jump, a head start on what? Who are you getting a head start on? John Gruden? The guys that aren't hired? I mean, that's all you could do, right? You can't do anybody else. So, to me, it's a little weird. If you're going to fire him, maybe fire him a month ago. The problem with it is, clearly Doug Marone's not the long-term answer. I don't care what they said today. If Doug Marone became the interim coach for 8 games and went 7-1, then you almost stuck keeping him. Yeah. You know, so I get why they do it now. But look, I feel for Gus. But I say that he's a good man. But the proof is in the pudding. I mean, his record speaks for itself. And you feel for the guys that weren't making any money that now have to go scrambling around. I mean, you're a head coach in the NFL. You get fired. You make a lot of money. You're okay in life, okay? And he'll bounce back. He'll get another job. But, like, the small guys, the guy, you know, they're going to get it at the end of the year, and those are the guys that got to scramble around and try and find a job.
You say Doug Marone won't be a candidate long term?
I just don't think he will be. If he was going to legitimately be a candidate long term, they would have fired Gus a long time ago, made him the head coach to see what he can do to figure it out. That's why. I just don't think he's going to be a long-term
coach. I'll say this. I said it a minute ago. I don't think he's going to be the next coach. I think that's your point. I agree with that. But I know, Pete, you know how groundswells are. If they won those two games, I'm not saying he'd get the job, but the public groundswell would be you'd hear it. Don't you think so, Tony, if he won two games?
I don't know. Yeah, I think I'm not sure two games is going to make a difference one way or another. I think to Pete's point, if something would happen earlier, could it, you know, that kind of momentum gotten there? Maybe. But I don't agree with Pete 100% that he's not a candidate. I'm not saying
I sent out a tweet today saying I have as much chance to become the head coach as Doug Marone does.
Well, I disagree with that, Pete. I'm not saying he's going to be the guy, but my guess is he'll get an interview.
Yeah. Hey, Tony, before I turn it over to you guys, your opinion, and I know how much you respect Gus and know him like I do. At the end of the day, the overall record, 14-48, what, in your opinion, and I know this isn't an easy question, but if you can put it in a paragraph, why didn't it go better for Gus Bradley's tenure here?
Well, I think you have to look at how the thing started and what they did to the roster from the beginning and what they asked Gus to do. I mean, they asked us to oversee a complete overhaul where you gutted it down to the very bare bones and spent almost zero money as far as free agency the first 2 years, and they didn't start spending to year three, really, and they're still $70 to $75 million under the cap. So it's, you know, they were more aggressive and they spent good money this year and started the year before. And so those first 2 years, I think it's difficult as you look at the record and everything else. I don't think it's just on the head coach or the coaching staff. I think you have to really take a step back and look at the big picture of what they asked him to do and what they asked the staff to do and what the plan was. And then you go in from there. Obviously, you go with a young quarterback and you're hoping that he's the guy. And I'm not saying he's not, but I think everyone would agree that Blake's had a tough year this year. And it's hard in this league when the quarterback's struggling and turning the ball over. So I think there's a lot of things that you could look at. Pete is right, though. At the end of the day, it comes down to the head coach is where he's going to be judged on ultimately is that record. And he is going to be the guy that takes it first and foremost if the record's not what it's supposed to be. But I don't.
One other thing.
I don't think. I don't think. I don't think you can just look at and say, you know, I don't buy the. Or I don't buy the narrative. Well, Gus Bradley's a bad coach because just look at his record. I think that's nonsense, and I think that's a very easy way out and not really being honest and looking at the entire picture.
Here's something else to consider as well. When you're a first-time coach, sometimes you end up hiring your buddies and your friends as your assistant coaches, and then you got to go scrambling around when it doesn't work out for them, and you don't have the guys you want, and there's never really a comfort zone. I think Gus will learn from this experience that, you know, look at all the changeover and turnover he's had in his coaching staff. That's always a concern, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the guys are getting coached up the right way. So I think Gus, you know, everybody's easy to throw Gus under the bus, but there are a lot of factors in the situation as well.
All right, this is Jaguars Monday. All of that for 2 hours, and it starts right now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by Everbank.
Question for me, and I know I'm fighting a little something right now, so maybe not on my A game. But since when did the clock start running on a PAT? Isn't the PAT a dead ball play? Untimed down?
Well, that was a field goal. No. Field goal.
See?
I know you're off your game.
That's why I'm off my game.
Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go, off and running on Jaguars Monday.
Hold on, JP. Just stop for a second. You know, Joe, I thought we were friends. I'm talking about our producer, Joe Fortunato, right now. And for you to throw me under the bus, I expect Dan and Jeff in the morning to throw me under the bus, but I figured at least if I could count on anybody to have my back after a tough day, playing hurt, playing through it, when the easy way out would have been just to say I'm not going to try to work, do my job. I mean, that hurts.
Obviously, that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not.
Apparently
it's not.
Okay. You're learning something today.
So I know where I stand with you now. And
I think it would be a great way to start Sunday's broadcast.
Perfect. One less person I can trust.
I'm sorry, Saturday's broadcast.
There you have it, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Pete Prisco is on the line with us from South Florida. The Jaguars have made a change at the head coaching position. Gus Bradley is out. Let go after the game yesterday in Houston. Doug Marrone, the interim head coach. Dave Caldwell still in place to determine the next full-time head coach for the Jaguars. Pete, what's up, man?
What's up? Yeah, it was a weird day yesterday, the way that all played. We were on the air when that happened.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and so everybody kind of like wanted me to figure out, you know, what's going on and stuff. But I don't know. Don't you guys think the timing's kind of weird?
In what sense, Pete? Just with two games left?
Yeah. And why? When was he fired, Tony?
He was told right after the game.
Yeah.
And they had he must have been told.
No.
He must have been told last week.
Nope.
Now, they determined it last week, it sounds like.
He was not told last week, Pete.
But why would you make him go to the game and then fly back? I don't get that. Why not tell him when he got back?
I'm not sure. I don't know why the timing was what it, you know, why they did it right then.
Sounds like they would have done it if they won, too. from the way it sounded in the press conference today. The decision was made beforehand.
Well, I don't know why. If that's the case, I don't know why you do it. I don't think that's correct, JP.
No?
If he'd have won, why, if you're going to fire him after a win, then I agree with Pete. Why wouldn't you fire him after Minnesota after you lost?
Exactly. Right.
So I don't think that was the case. But I don't know.
I mean, it's odd that
we're all guessing because I don't know.
Back on the yeah, and then he flies back on the plane.
I thought he said that in the press conference.
It was. So
it was odd. It was odd.
So JP, I mean, I didn't watch the entire press conference. So did
That's
Dave?
What it sounded like.
So
yeah.
Did Dave say he was fired?
The decision
one way or
was made. Yeah. So
then why? And I'll ask Dave when I see him. But I'm curious, why not just do it after the Minnesota game then?
It's a great question. Only they
did
can answer.
Something happened between now and then, or did some players gripe or moan? Or
no,
I mean, what,
not that I know of, Pete. Nothing. Came out that it was any players or anything else.
It also sounded like today from the press conferences that when Jeff Fisher was fired with the Rams, that's when the conversations kind of ramped up a little bit between Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell. They didn't want to miss the boat on any potential interviewees down the line.
I don't know.
That was said today, too.
And I did hear that. I saw that part of the transcript. I don't understand what interviewees you'd be worried about missing out on.
Well, the
because
only ones that could be are college coaches.
Right.
And guys who aren't currently in jobs.
Outside of David Shaw, Pete, is there any college coach that you might want to talk to?
Swing for the fence. Go after Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, if I'm the Jacksonville Jaguars, my first two calls, you know who they are? Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. I'm swing for the fence.
You think Urban Meyer would be a good pro coach?
I do.
I don't know anything about him, so.
I do. I think both of them would be really good head coaches in the NFL.
Well, Nick struggled the first time, but it was a different situation.
Well, he still doesn't have a quarterback, but if he came there. But, no, Tony, now, don't get me wrong, if Nick Saban came to Jacksonville and was the head coach and running the whole thing, I probably wouldn't be sitting here doing a radio show every Monday with you either. You know what I mean? He'd stop all that stuff right away. But I'd still make the calls. I'd make the call. So to me, it's about college coaches now and guys who don't have jobs. Well, who doesn't have a job? John Gruden doesn't have a job in coaching. Bill Cowher doesn't have a job in coaching.
Bill Cowher is not.
Tom Coughlin.
Right. Bill Cowher is not going. John Gruden's probably not. But you might make the call. Tom Coughlin doesn't have a job in coaching. Then you go to the college coaches. Is it Harbaugh, Saban, and Meyer? I mean, you know, shoot for the moon.
Yeah, I guess I guess you're right, Pete. I mean, if you felt like that there was a guy out there that you were competing with the Rams for, one of those college coaches or one of the guys not coaching, then and you were worried about that and you knew you were going to make the decision, that would explain the timing. But the rest of the pro coaches, you can't talk to anyone who has a job anyways right now, so there's no advantage gained by making the change.
Yeah, you might not be able to talk to a guy like Josh McDaniels until a couple weeks down the road.
Well, you can talk during the bye to those players,
to
those coaches.
He can, but teams that aren't in the bye can't talk until the next week.
That's right. So in New England's case, they could.
So again, it goes back to my theory. If you're getting a head start, if the whole idea is to get a head start, then there's got to be somebody in college that they have their eye on, or at least they would make contact with, right? I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Pete, we're speculating, but that's the only thing I can think of that would make give
two and
the
two equals
sense
four,
of,
Tony.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only reason to make this move when you did is because there's somebody out there that you can talk to now that you're afraid the Rams might talk to before you can get to them.
And Dave said today that the process could start as early as tomorrow. I mean, this is going to happen pretty quick. So.
Which leads you to believe that they're going to, through intermediaries, you know, i.e. the agent Jimmy Sexton, they're going to talk to some college coaches. I mean, look, wouldn't you at least gauge the interest of Nick Saban and Urban Meyer and even Jim Harbaugh if he says he's on the go, but gauge their interest? I would.
Probably Nick Saban more than any of the others.
Me too. I would agree.
Yeah, go ask and a no is a no, you know. Well, you go ask, right?
Yeah, JP, then they go to all the boosters like you in Alabama and ask you to give another couple hundred thousand or whatever you give each year.
Yeah, definitely not me at that level, I'll tell you that, Pete. Joe Fortunato, what you got?
Yeah, thanks, JP. I got the I don't have the audio, but I got the transcription of Dave's press conference, thanks to Gabby Moran. Thanks, Gabby. He was asked about the timing of the decision. His answer is, well, because he was going to get fired on Monday, even if he won, but we needed to start the process for a new head coach.
There you go. There you have it. I know it wasn't crazy.
Well,
that
did it start like Sunday night?
Then why would you not? I wonder why they didn't just fire him after the Minnesota game then. Because, boy, that you talk about awkward. It was tough. I mean, no matter when you get fired, it's never good.
It's never an easy time.
No, it's never easy, especially, I mean, there's good relationships between everyone involved. But could you imagine after winning?
Right. That would have been extremely awkward.
I mean, really.
Congratulations.
Good win, but it's time to go.
You know what? I got so many tweets today, Tony, from people saying, now Boselli can finally talk about the next coach.
Ah, and I'm sure we're going to get to that today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you want to talk about. I mean, I will, but I don't know anything more than you do, Pete. I mean, I'm not sure.
No, we're going to play the speculating game. We like that.
Now, is that part of the Irritate Boselli segment?
No, the whole show will be Irritate Boselli.
It's not going
to
irritate
me. He's sick, so we got to he's sick, so we might have to give him a little mercy today.
I'm just not sure what I mean, none of us know who the coach is going to be. We can go through names.
Tony, we're going to have a little lesson for you. A touchdown is 6 points. An extra point is one. When the ball goes out of bounds, it doesn't stop the clock unless it's inside 2 minutes or five.
5 minutes at the end of the game, Pete. I got that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you didn't know.
I was delirious, Pete.
What were you amped up on? What were you eating? What
did you have in you?
I don't know. They gave me some medicine, and I was all whacked out.
Obviously. Let's come back and get into it a little bit more. Gus Bradley out, Doug Marone, the interim head coach, and questions moving forward. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit priproductions.com to learn more. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I just like to be here with this team when it's successful. I do really believe this fan base is unbelievable. When you go through something that's hard and then you come through it and you have success and you say, that's why we do it. That's why these lessons, look at where it took you. And then see a stadium that's filled like what you told me about when they came back from the playoffs and the plane flew around, the stadium was filled. You know, I kept envisioning that part of it, where this city would go wild and the players, and we connect with the following, and they played good football, they won. They didn't have an enemy. They had no enemy. And everybody was pulling for them. So, you know, I regret, because I do believe that's going to happen. So I regret not being here to see you.
Head coach Gus Bradley in his press conference today at Sawgrass Marriott. You can catch the full archive of that on Jaguars.com. In fact, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday rolling along.
Wait a second. He had the press conference at the Sawgrass Marriott?
Yeah, yeah, his own kind of deal today. And you know, it was pretty classy, man, really.
Yeah. Look, I can't say enough about him as a human being. I can't. There are a lot of guys that I've covered in this league on a long – I've been around a long time. I've been around a lot of coaches. They don't come much better than that guy. And I mean that sincerely. I mean, he's just he's a good person. And just to do that. I mean, how many guys would do that?
Nobody. I don't know if I've heard of that. Right?
Who put it together?
The team, I believe.
But it was more him wanting to do it, and then like, the team just kind of got everybody together to do it. Didn't want to do it in the building, obviously. That's an awkward situation. Talked for about 35, 40 minutes today. So there you have it. Gus Bradley.
I mean, that speaks volumes about the guy, and he'll bounce back and be a coordinator somewhere, and who knows, maybe down the road he becomes another head coach. But the problem is, again, this team just hasn't made progress. It hasn't got better. So, I mean, you have to understand where they're at. The timing of it's weird, but they had to make the decision.
Doug Marrone, interim head coach, 15-17 in Buffalo. The 2 years there had a 9-7 season, but missed the playoffs because two teams from the AFC North that year had the wild cards. A 25-25 college record, 4 years at Syracuse prior to that. You don't believe this is an audition, Pete, at all for him?
No. Nothing. I don't think there's anything he can do in the next 2 weeks that would make him the head coach. I just don't.
Could it make him a head coach somewhere else?
No, not now. I mean, look, he's thought highly of in the NFL. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people like Doug Marrone, but again, has his unit been good?
They've kept Blake upright better than they had the last couple of years.
They played their fifth left guard yesterday.
Actually, sixth. Were
they good when they were healthy? I mean, that's a legitimate question.
Were they good? No, they're above average. Above average, yeah.
They were not above average. As a unit, that was an above average offensive line.
Looking around the league, Pete, yeah.
Well, I don't think so. They're about middle. Yeah, maybe okay. Average. I'll give you average. You think they're above? That's an above average offensive line, Tony?
What is average? Is it like from 10 to 20? Like is the middle?
Or
is
average? Like, I don't even want to argue with you about this, Pete. I mean, I'm not going to go through every team. I thought they're middle of the pack. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
My goodness. They're more middle of the pack to below to low end.
Okay, great.
You're no fun today. You're no fun when you're sick.
I'm not sick. I feel fine.
I don't know
what you want me to say. You asked me a question. I think they're average to above average. They're not great. They're not good. They're up and down. They've improved over the year before. All the numbers say they have. And so, do I think Doug Marrone's a good coach? Yeah, I think he's a good offensive line coach. I think he did a good job in Buffalo. He was 9-7. You know, I don't know all the inner workings that happened there. And I thought, he turned around Syracuse and they're kind of had that going. That's why he got a job at Buffalo. I mean, I think Doug Marrone's a good coach.
Do you think he's a candidate?
I think he'll get an interview. I'm not going to lay
money. That's a courtesy interview, though.
I'm not going to lay money on the line that he's going to get the job. I mean, I don't know the direction. I honestly have no idea what direction Shad Khan wants to go and Dave wants to go. Do they want to go a college guy? Are they going to go try to spend, $8 million a year to go get a name coach that will get people excited? I don't know. I mean, I think that's always – I don't know if that always works because that gets people excited until the season starts. Ultimately, what maintains a fan base and gets people buying tickets is winning. This franchise hasn't done that for a while. So I don't know if they – Shad and Dave plan on going and spending, a big money to go get that name coach that will get everyone excited and win the offseason. It's kind of like – in free agency, every year you have a couple teams that win the offseason.
I think we won last offseason,
and that doesn't translate into the teams that win during the season. Sometimes it does. So I don't know what their plan of attack is, Pete. Or are they going to go get a coordinator, a guy who's coordinating right now? Are they going to get a guy with head coaching experience? I have no sense at all of what direction they're
going
to go.
Well, let's not talk about what sense they're going in. Let's talk about, think about it. They did this, obviously, with an eye on somebody who's not coaching right now. I mean, that just is common sense. That's right? I mean, that just speaks of common sense.
Either that, Pete, either that or they made their mind up, and once their mind was made up, they felt like there was no reason to keep them around.
It's a possibility.
Could have done that. I mean, that mind was probably made up 3 weeks ago, so it would have really mattered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if it was. By the way, the comments that we heard today, I mean, I'm not sure it was. It sounds like the decision was made this week.
Yeah, it sounds like they started to talk at the meetings in Dallas. Yeah.
All right, so let's put it out there. Okay, so they're looking at a college coach. Now, whoever that is, who knows? But then you got to start thinking about what coordinators are out there and what's better for this team. Could it be a recycle coach like Mike Smith? Could it be, a coordinator? The way the team is constructed right now, Tony, I'm putting you on the spot. You're general manager. What's the best option for this team the way it's constructed right now?
As far as offense, defense?
Or coordinator or college coach or previous NFL head coach?
I'm fine. If it was me.
You.
Whoever I'm hiring has head coaching experience.
Okay. So then that narrows the pool a little bit.
I want
at any level.
College or pro, yeah.
Okay.
I want head coaching experience.
That takes a guy like Kyle Shanahan out of the equation.
It would, for me.
Okay.
Josh
McDaniels would still be in the equation.
He would. He would.
So, okay, so you've taken that, because I'm putting you in the GM seat. You've taken that, and you've made your pool what it is. What's the way the team is built, like the youth of it, the age of it, what's the best option now? Is it an offensive coach? Is it a young guy? Is it an older guy? Is it?
I don't think offense or defensive slant matters with the head coach. And Pete, I think you'd agree. The head coach, his job is to hire good coordinators. And typically,
I'm with you on that.
Those are the guys who are going to dictate whether you're good on offense or defense. The head coach is the leader, the manager, the organizer, the big picture direction, of all those different things. I would lean more towards a guy who is more on the disciplinarian side. I mean, kind of a less of a player's coach. I hate using that term because I'm trying to the best way to explain it. Because typically that's what you see happen. You know, when a team has – because if you're going to make a change, then let's change. You don't want to go hire the same style of coach as the one you just let go. And so I would probably go towards more of rigid, more stern, disciplinarian type of guy. I wouldn't care, age-wise.
Okay, so we're talking stern disciplinarian who's been head coach in college or the NFL, who is on either side of the ball but has to have good coordinators, right?
Yeah, you want good coordinator. I mean, the guy built –
I'm with
the
you, Tony. I think the
staff is – I mean, it's the staff you can put together.
Right. The staff was kind of what Gus put together bad staff and was undone by it. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Well, I don't know if he has a bad staff right now. I don't know if
it took him 4 years to get to
how many coordinators has he been through on offense?
Okay, I'm talking right now.
Okay, but to get to that, that's the problem with young coaches. They build their staffs based on – people they know, guys they knew, guys they recommended to them, because it's new to them.
And it's hard to build a staff in the NFL because guys are under contracts.
Correct. Well, that's why I always tell any assistant I ever talk to that I give advice about how to become an NFL head coach, I always tell them, have a two deep or three, four deep at each coaching position when you go to your interview and pull it out and show it to the owner. And say, look, I get the job. He's going to be my guy. If I can't get him, he's my next choice. If I can't get him, he's my next choice. So you're that prepared that you know who your options are going to be. Because a lot of times these guys get in there and they're not as prepared as they should. So option one goes out the window. You go to option two. You might not get him. Then you get scrambling around because they don't have three, four, and five. That's to me, would be a big-time advice. But I'm with you. Tony, we're in the minority on that, by the way, about the head coach being an overseer of everything. And not nearly as important as his coordinators would be in terms of allowing them to coach. I'm with you on that.
Let's come back, guys, and see how the quarterback factors into all of this moving forward.
One thing, JP, we haven't talked about the elephant in the room.
Which is?
TC.
Yes.
We'll come back with that, Pete.
He was mentioned today. We'll hear from Dave Caldwell on that coming up. Your calls in the second hour of the Irritate Baselli Half Hour, 355-NFL-1, the number. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Tom would be somebody we'd be interested in talking to. Tom's a great man and great person, and we'll see where it goes. There'll be a lot of guys we'll be interested in talking to. Shoot, I mean, he's got so much experience on myself or any coach that we have in this building, and he's a great individual. So I think you can always learn from people, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. There's always a quest for knowledge.
Dave Caldwell in his press conference today. Excuse me, at Everbank Field. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. And yes, the elephant in the room asked directly if the Jaguars would have interest in pursuing Tom Coughlin. You heard a collection of answers there from a series of about three straight questions. Ryan O'Halloran had the bulk of those, but obviously there's interest there for the Jaguars. Pete?
Well, and rightfully so. I mean, but interest how, though? That's the question to me right now is how. Is it interest in a front office position? Is it interest in a VP of personnel decision? Is it interest in him becoming the head coach? Tom Coughlin will be 71 years old when the ball kicks off next year. So, and I think he could still be a hell of a head coach. Hell of a head coach.
He's a young 71.
But, Tony, he won't. You don't know what he's going to be in 3 years. He's going to be 75. And you don't know if he'll be a young 75. So I think what has to happen if he becomes the head coach, he'd have to have somebody on that staff that would be the next guy. Because Tom's not going to coach 5 to 10 more years. You know that.
Well, there's nothing that would surprise me with Tom. Nothing. I think age is a factor you have to look at. Do I think he's a good coach? Yes, he's a very good football coach. Would he do a good job? Absolutely. And I'm sure he has a lot of interest. But I do think I think his interest probably, Pete, is as a football coach more than anything else. I mean, that's what he is. Not that he wouldn't take another role if it fit, but where this team is, what they're looking for is a football coach more than anything. And I think that's the first priority in what they're going to do and how they're going to make decisions. They're going to make their first decisions about is that coaching position. And I think he will be a guy they talk to. And I think he'd do a good job
He'd do a great job. It's just a matter of how long.
Yeah, do you want to do this again in 5 years?
Right. Let's just say for the argument, Tom comes in, he's the same great coach he was in New York, and they won a Super Bowl. And he walked away 3 years from now. Don't you have to have some kind of plan in place?
If you can win a Super Bowl in three or four years, I think you don't really care about the plan after that. At that point,
right. Let's say he gets close then and doesn't win it. Then you have to worry about the plan. I don't know. I think he would be great. I think from an advisory position, that's where you run into some issues for me.
I don't think he'll do that, Pete. I think he's either going to be.
You don't.
No, I think he'll either be the guy or he's not going to do it at all.
Okay, because if he was in an advisory position, Tony, and you know this as well as anybody, I know it, people who've been around him there a lot know it, there's no way he's going to allow a coach to coach without meddling. No way. Zero, zippo, none.
He would have strong opinions.
Right, and so would that deter one of the coaches from coming here? Like, for example, if you're Josh McDaniels and you're considering it, I don't know if he is, and all of a sudden you say, okay, well, you're going to have to work for Tom underneath Tom, who's the VP. That might deter a guy from coming here. That could hurt him. Could hurt the search in that standpoint. So I think he'd be a great coach. I worry about the longevity of it. And then if he's in an advisory position or a VP of football operations position, I think that would be concerning to the coaches who you could hire. And I've talked to some coaches that I know that over the years that said if something like that happened, you would be – real reluctant to take that job.
Pete, give me your top guys who you think are candidates and realistic.
All right, I'm going to throw away the college coaches because that's pie in the sky. That's who take a shot.
Yeah, I don't think they'll go after those, but that's fine.
I think McDaniels is a legitimate candidate. I think Kyle Shanahan is a legitimate candidate. I think Mike Smith is a legitimate candidate. I think I'll give you a couple names that I would look at if it was me. I'd sniff around Sean McVay, the offensive coordinator in Washington. I know he's only 29 years old, but I think he's a hell of a coach. I'd also, you know who I talked to, Tony? And this is going to sound crazy. I talked to Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel played under Belichick. He's worked under Bill O'Brien. I think he's got the right temperament for the job. I think Mike Vrabel would be a guy, and you know, you talk about from your standpoint, a guy who would oversee, hire good coordinators, and then kind of be the guy in the room. You know what I mean? I think Mike Vrabel would be really good at that.
So you don't think, if you're the GMP, you don't care if they've been a head coach or not before?
I prefer it. I prefer it.
Of all the guys you mentioned, only one's been a head coach.
Right, I know. But okay, I talked to them all.
I'm saying, who would you hire?
Well, two of them were head coaches, yeah. McDaniels and Smith were both head coaches.
McDaniels was as well. Who would you hire?
Me?
Yeah.
Depending on who Mike Smith would hire as his offensive coordinator, I'd consider him strongly. That we don't know who the offensive coordinator would be, but if he – because I think Mike Smith was the second fastest coach in the history of the NFL to 50 wins.
Mike Smith's a good football coach.
Yeah.
You know who the fastest was? George Seifert, and he inherited the 49ers dynasty.
That's right.
So I think, you know, when you look at what Mike Smith did in Atlanta, and you know, one thing about Mike Smith, you know, cause we keep hearing they might want to hire an offensive coach, the Jaguars, because, you know, usually that's what teams do. Well, Mike Smith allowed his offensive coordinator in Atlanta, Dirk Cutter, to do pretty much what he wanted to do. So whoever the coordinator is will be important to the hire. So it's just a matter of who that would be. But I think Mike Smith would be a hell of a choice. Of the two offensive guys, I tend to lean more toward Josh McDaniels than Kyle Shanahan because of what you said, Tony, coaching experience. And I think Josh McDaniels will be 10 times better as a head coach the second time around because he's not going to have the personnel power he had in Denver. It was too much power for a young coach to have all that. Shanahan, I'm one of those guys that I was critical of Shanahan last year, and there were a lot of people in Atlanta that I know very well that didn't like a lot of the things he did. I told you the story about Matt Ryan had to tape his ankles for the first time in his career because he ran so many boots in practice. Well, I give him big props for changing this year. He didn't try and continue to fit those guys to his offense. He adapted what they do to him. And to me, that's a sign of a good coach. So as critical as I was of Kyle Shanahan last year, I got to give him big-time props for the way he adjusted this year.
So you wouldn't go after any of the older guys like a Tom Coughlin sort?
Oh, Tom would be on the – I'd talk to Tom. I would definitely talk to Tom. I'm concerned about the age.
What about a Gruden or a Cowher?
I don't think you're getting them out of the booth, Tony. So I think all you're doing is helping their agents get more money out of their TV deals.
How about a guy like Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad?
I hear he wants to come back. I hear he wants to coach again.
How old is he?
So, yeah, he's not a guy. I think he's 60.
Mid-60s,
maybe?
I think. Yeah, mid-late 60s.
I would consider him as well. I mean, let's face it, Tony. On the surface, if you could have Mike Shanahan or his son Kyle, you'd take Mike, right?
I would.
Mike's 64.
And nothing, yeah. That's, I mean, nothing against Kyle Shanahan. I think he's a heck of a coach, but I'm looking at where this franchise is, a young team. I would get someone who's had head coaching experience.
Got a question on Twitter.
I'll give you a question on Twitter real quick.
Which coach gets the Rooney Rule interview?
You see, it's not just a Rooney Rule interview. Whoever they're in interview is actually going to get interviewed. So they won't do that just for the sake of it. They'll interview the guy. I'll give you a couple guys that
the defensive coordinator at Terrell Austin.
I'll give you another one. Vance Joseph in Miami. Vance Joseph. I hear nothing but really good things from people around the league about Vance Joseph.
What about Anthony Lynn in Buffalo? He's done a good job with that offense.
He'll get an interview in Buffalo. I think when what's his name goes. Hey, look, I get a lot of people saying, Shad, clean house, get Tom Coughlin and Smith. That was the one on Twitter. We got that one. I mean, I just think when you look at – I don't think head coaching experience is a must, though, Tony. I really don't.
Okay.
I don't think it's a must.
I'm not saying it's a must, but it'd be one of the things that if I am close or there's a – you know, I have a toss-up between two candidates – That would give one guy an edge over another.
Now, if Tom Coughlin was 57, 58, 60 years old in the same situation, he'd be slam dunk in my book. That would be a slam dunk. But the fact he's 71, that just moving forward, that's got to be concerning in a big way. And you know, and I get it, Tony. You say 70s, and it isn't because look, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton just ran for the president of the United States, and both of them were, what, almost 70. So 70 isn't old anymore like it used to be. God, I hope not, because I'm closing in on it soon. But, I mean, when you think about it, three, four years from now, I don't. What's going to happen to Tom if he coach? Is he coach? Does he want to coach anymore? You know what I mean?
Tom Coughlin's going to want to coach till the day he dies. So I'm not. I mean, it's not going to be him, and he has tons of energies and great health. And
you actually believe that 3 or 4 years from now, when he's 75 years old, Tom Coughlin would still want to be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, health being the way it is now?
If his health is fine, yes, I think he would want to be.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know him at all, but is the fact that it would delay the Hall of Fame voting? Does that have anything to do with
no,
that?
No.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. He wants to work.
Got it.
He's a worker.
Hey, let's come back and talk a little quarterback. We'll continue the head coaching discussion. The Irritate Buscelli half hour is around the corner. 355-NFL-1, the number. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their 5 convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7. And this is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I've never made a mandate of anybody has to play or not have to play with Gus, and I always feel it's a coach's responsibility to play who he feels like should be, give us the best chance to win, and that's with everybody. I still believe Blake gives us the best chance to win on Sunday. I know he's fighting through a lot of different things from a health standpoint, but he's committed, and he's been in here first thing in the morning today, ready to prepare for the Tennessee Titans.
Dave Caldwell earlier today in his press conference. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Your calls coming up in the second hour, 355-NFL-1. That'll be one of the top questions for any coaching candidate, I'm sure. What do you think of number 5?
Well, I'll say this. The motion looks a little better the last couple of weeks. I mean, it has improved. It's still not – I mean, overall play I think has gotten a little bit better the last couple of weeks, but it's still not great. And
wait, he had a 30-something rating this week? What was it?
No,
it
the rate this past week was –
36
but
points.
The whole,
it was atrocious, Tony.
This week. Okay, this week. I agree with you. I'm trying to be positive, Pete.
I don't know if you can on this one.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Not good.
The reality is this. Whoever the head coach is going to come in, you know, you have to have a quarterback to play in this league. And I'm not ready. And I'll Pete called it. We said week 3. It's time to. He knew that Bortles isn't the guy. It's time to scrap it. And I argued vehemently against him.
Yes, you did.
And I'm not ready to scrap Blake Bortles yet. But I'll say this: if I'm the GM and if I'm a head coach coming in, I'm saying, listen, I'm okay with giving Blake Bortles a chance, but we need to have another option on the roster. And we need
I think they will, Tony. The question becomes, what's the option?
A couple things. I'm doing, I guess, one or three things. I am seeing who's going to be a free agent, and just from right now where I sit today, I don't think that there's a lot of great free agent options out there. Am I right, Pete, about that?
Well, yeah, yeah. You're right. Because, I mean, your options are going to be – these are the quarterbacks that might be available. Kirk Cousins, highly unlikely, but he could be.
Well, I would take Kirk Cousins now.
How about Mike Glennon?
No.
How about Jay Cutler?
Well, you know what? Mike Glennon, I mean, if I'm not going to have to give much up as a – how much might I have to pay for him? Yeah, I mean, he'd be an option.
How about Jay Cutler?
No.
All right. So how about Romo? He wouldn't come. I don't think Romo.
Romo wouldn't come here anyways.
Right. So.
That's not a great.
Why wouldn't he come here?
Because he wants to try to go win. He thinks he has 2 or 3 years left.
Time to go win.
And I want to try to win a Super Bowl. And I'll tell you this.
By the way,
from the Jaguars' perspective, I'm not sure I'd take Tony Romo. He has not been healthy for 2 years.
That's a good point.
Mike Glennon's a free agent, Tony.
That's what I'm saying. As a free agent, Pete, I might. You know, pay Mike Glennon a little bit. I haven't evaluated Mike Glennon. You know, I know he was a second-round, third-round pick out of NC State. number of years ago, was the starter before they got Winston. So I'd look
never completed 60%, hasn't completed 60% of his passes in his career.
I'd look at it. I haven't studied the Glenn tape. So that's option one. Option two is I go try to make a trade for a guy.
But who?
I don't know. Isn't Philip Rivers going to be a free agent after this year, Pete?
No. But who do you trade for?
I thought he was.
No.
Okay.
Who do you trade for, Tony?
I don't know. Is there any backups on any rosters that, you know? I mean, we once upon a time traded
for
a guy.
What about Garoppolo?
There's a perfect example, Garoppolo. We traded for Mark Brunell in 1995, and he ended up being the best quarterback in the history of this franchise.
Would you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes. What am I going to have to give up?
Well, this was a deal I put out there yesterday in our green room. We were talking about it. You get Garoppolo and a second, and you give up your first.
Ooh.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, ooh. I had to think about that because I'd have to look at who was going to be out in the first round. The question you have about Garoppolo, is he a product of that system?
He did get hurt pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah, but it was a
– Well, he looked good. I'll tell you what, though. You put on the tape of the
– He looked good, Tony, Pete. I'm with you. He looked good.
Yeah. He looked like a little baby Brady almost.
I don't know if I give up a one. Can I get him for a two?
You're getting a two back, though.
I don't want a two back. I just want to give up a two, which is like a late first to New England.
Yeah, it'll be like the 37th pick or something.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's right, because Jacksonville's two will be actually more. Yeah, so you get the two. Here's what you do. You give up the two, you get Garoppolo and a six or something.
Fine, done. Sign me up right now.
Okay.
So that's option two. Option three is I evaluate the college draft, and if there's a guy that fits the value where I pick in the first or second round, I pick him.
So this quarterback class is not great.
It's not going to be the third overall pick, but second.
The intriguing guy, and you're going to, when I say this, you're going to go, what are you talking about? The intriguing guy in the quarterback class is Kaiser.
What about
Notre Dame guy?
Yes.
Also, what about
big, strong-armed, can make all the throws, tough.
Ooh, that's something to chew on over the break. Let's come back and continue the quarterback discussion. We'll also take your calls, 355-NFL1, the number. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I don't look at it as, you know, trying to put a stamp. I think that there's an obligation that we have to the organization. I would be remiss to say that we don't have an obligation still to Gus and what he has done and some of the things. The effort of the people and men that come in this room every day and what Gus, the job that he did to get them to come in here and truly buy in and play, we just weren't able to get that done. And that's collectively. I mean, to sit up here and David mentioned it, which I thought was the right thing to do, you know, we all have a part in this. It just so happens that, you know, when you're the head coach and when you're the leader and the results aren't there, you know, this is what happens in our league. But make no mistake about it. You know, I sit up here. I'm part of that responsibility as well as everybody else.
Doug Marrone today. He spoke after Dave Caldwell here at Everbank Field. Jaguars Monday, second hour of the Irritate Tony Buscelli half hour is here. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Your calls, 355-NFL1. We finished the last segment discussing possible draftable quarterbacks, if you're into that. You dropped a Kaiser bomb on us, Pete.
Well, I like him, and I haven't done all the study on him yet.
The kid from North Carolina is pretty good, too, Pete.
Yeah, Trubisky's good. To worry about that one for me, Tony, is it was 1 year, you know? Where was he? You know, those Johnny come lately sometimes are concerning, and I haven't done the work on any of these guys yet other than watch them play. I'll tell you a kid who I like, and somebody just tweeted it at me, and I was just talking about it with Brady Quinn this afternoon. It's funny because a guy tweeted his name at me, is the Falk kid at Washington State. And he's a little Luke Falk. He's a little gunslinger. Not little, but he's about 6'2". He's not thick, but, boy, he when he throws the ball around, he looks like a little like Romo with the way he throws the ball. And you know, he wouldn't be a first-round pick, but that's a guy, you know, you could bring in somebody like that. So, I look, again, Tony, we went through all the options. It's a very limited pool when you're chasing that position again.
No, I agree, but I wouldn't be against – I'd probably make the Garoppolo trade.
Yeah, you seem more intrigued about a trade, Tony.
I like the Garoppolo trade. I think that would be a great trade if you could get him. If you could get Jimmy Garoppolo
for a second-round pick, I take him.
And
right
maybe
now.
Get his head coach. Maybe McDaniels wants him too. If you got McDaniels, let's put it this way: he would beat out Bortles. You make it a competition, and he beat him out. It's not like you're just giving him the
no,
job.
No, oh yeah, it's open competition. I said I'm not giving up on Blake Bortles, but I think we are all kidding ourselves if we think that. And what Doug Marrone just said is exactly right. The head coach is the one who takes the first fall. He gets the chopping ball. It's the way the league works. But I think everyone would agree that quarterback play has to be much better, no matter who the head coach
is
here.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't think there's any two ways about that.
The million-dollar question, twofold with the quarterback position. Is he fixable, and will Dave be tied to him?
I don't know either answer to that, Pete. I'll say this. I worry about when you're asking the question, is a guy fixable?
Well, I do too, because I don't think he is right now.
As an organization, are you willing to wait another year to find
that
out?
You're not going to go into camp as him as your starter. I think that's done. Now, if you want to make him go into camp and say, okay, you're going to compete for a job, and you go into camp and he's just fantastic – and he looks great, which is highly unlikely, then he's your starter. But you can't go into 2017, I don't care who the coach is, with Blake Bortles being your starting quarterback. You just can't.
Do you have the fifth-year option? We talked about this last week. Pete, you don't think they'll do the fifth-year option, do you?
I wouldn't.
No, hell no.
No.
There's no reason to.
So he's coming in his fourth and final year of his contract, and that's it.
Correct.
That's what you have a franchise tag for.
True.
Yeah, if lightning strikes and he throws for 35 touchdown passes again and actually looks like he can play the position? There's nothing from the game yesterday, nothing, not one thing from the game yesterday that gives you the idea that he can play the position. Nothing. Zero. Zippo. Nothing.
12 of 28, 92 yards, no touchdowns, one terrible interception at the end, and a 36.6 rating for Bortles yesterday. He did have a rushing touchdown. That was it.
Make him a tight end.
So a bad day.
Tony, you're speechless.
I don't even know what to say, Pete. I don't know what to say. I was trying to make it, you know, like I saw a couple throws that were nice. He had a couple deep balls for the first time in a while that I saw were really well thrown and right on target. So I was like, okay, that's good. But then you just look at the numbers and you look at some of the decisions and – and it's not all him. I mean, the protection wasn't great yesterday. There were some wrong routes run. So it wasn't all him, but it's just not good enough. And you just cannot continue to make some of the decisions and the poor throws. And then also when you're a quarterback and you get an opportunity at the end of the game with the ball in your hands to go win the game, you're not going to do it every time, but you got to do it some of the times. And it hasn't happened this year, outside of the one game in Chicago to Aurelius Ben.
If you want to count the London game, he had the touchdown to get him. It was in the fourth quarter, but 4 minutes to go. I don't know if that
– did they already have the lead, though?
It was a tight game.
Aside from all that, guys, you got to look at the game and say, what can I take away?
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, there's nothing. Zero. And usually – when you evaluate a quarterback, there's something. There was nothing from that game yesterday. No stand in the pocket and make the reads and miss the throw. It was a bad game. Bad. I mean, like the throw, the Koyak thing, that's not on him, but it's just that's the kind of thing that goes wrong when everything's going wrong, right? Get your head around. Can he get his head around?
Yeah, there was nothing good. I mean, a couple nice deep throws, but nothing else.
Do you think it's fixable, Tony?
Pete, I don't know. I don't know.
I used to think it might be fixable because I used to think it might be in his head. Pete, he's a golfer who lost.
I just know this.
Swing.
This is what I know. This you can't go another year with the quarterback playing the way he did this year. You can't. Because I've been saying all year, it doesn't matter who the head coach is if you get that type of quarterback play. You just can't do it.
You can't win consistently with bad quarterback play. You just can't.
And that's why I'll go back to what I said. I'm not saying I would bring Blake back, but I would have another option where it's an open competition, a real competition, someone to really push him. And whoever wins the job is going to be my quarterback next year.
Well, I mean, based on the way he's played, he's not winning the job from Brandon Allen next year.
I'm just saying, but I'd bring someone else in to fight for the job.
Was it fool's gold in 2015? That's the
Now, Pete, you have to say yes.
Right. And is it? And how much of it is in his head? Because he thinks he looks like a guy who lost his golf swing. That's what he looks like to me.
How much of it is actually in the arm? Do you think? Playing through some stuff.
Head, because your mechanics go bad, and then you don't step into balls, and you get your feet get open, and the ball sails. And I go right back to. Not only that, he's not a great reader of the field.
When did he actually hurt his shoulder though? When was
that's
that?
That's not it. I mean,
that's not it.
Well, because it wasn't good before that.
That's what I thought.
And JP,
if anything, his mechanics have gotten better with a bad shoulder.
Okay.
What are the easiest throws to make when you're not a great reader of the field? Back shoulder throws down the field. How many of those do they throw?
A lot.
A lot of them, yeah.
Well, that tells you.
You ready to open the phone lines, guys?
Yep.
Pete, yeah. I know you're excited about this. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Let's go to the west side. Jerome will get us started tonight. Jerome, you're on the air. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing today?
Great. What you got? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, I want to say I think what Jacksonville needs right now, I think they need like a John Gruden or a Sean Payton, whatever it takes. You got to get them out the booth. You can't overpay for all these players and overlap the coaching when the coaching is the most important, especially when you're grooming young players. And my other thing is, though, what about a quarterback with the eye of the cat, yo, that can, like, dissect the team from the pocket? You know what I mean?
The eye of the cat?
Yeah, not the eye of the tiger. The eye of the cat, man. We're the Jaguars, man.
Who are you talking about?
Heck are you talking about? Honestly.
Yeah, like who?
You know what? Right now, you got to draft him. I think nowadays you got to draft your quarterback, man.
Okay, who? Give us a name. Give us one name who has the eye of the cat.
Who knows? I mean,
who knows? Great. Great.
What can you do? I mean, you can only go forward. I think they stick with Bortles another year, give him another shot. I mean, you have nothing to lose. I mean,
you have nothing to lose. You have football games to lose.
Sir?
Yeah, what do you mean you have nothing to lose? You have football games to lose.
If Bortles doesn't get right, if he starts like showing up like he did this year, you bench him and you either go with Allen or you go get you, like you said, another free agent quarterback, a veteran one, and just he needs some competition, man. He hasn't been pushed. He hasn't had no competition. He's like the most untouchable player on the team, and that's a problem. I mean, everybody else has no problem benching their quarterback if they mess up, but Jacksonville. I mean, I don't understand that.
Thanks for the call tonight. The eye of the cat. The eye of the cat is what we're looking for.
I don't know what he was talking about, but
I don't even know where to go with that call.
You know, there's something we haven't thought about in this, those Brandon Allen. I mean, I know he's a long shot and everything else, but he's going to be in the mix next year, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens. Let's go back to the west side. Trevor is on the line this evening. Trevor, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. I just want to know, you know, everybody's talking about getting back to Tom Coughlin as a coach, and you know how we built this team in the successful days? We had a solid offensive lineman. We went out and drafted one of the best out there. And he was the cornerstone of the franchise. And everybody wants to spend this capital on another quarterback and whatnot when you've got a bunch of ham and eggers playing offensive line. I mean, who's going to play behind that guy and be successful? Do you guys honestly believe in the offensive line they trot out there every week?
Thanks for the call. P, Pete says no. Tony?
It's a very beat-up group right now. So I think it'll be one of the areas they look at in free agency and the draft. I think you'll see competition brought in and very well could have a couple new starters on the line next year.
Well, Linder's a definite starter.
Yes.
He's your bell cow. He's your guy. Best one. Yeah.
That's it.
What's the draft look like for offensive linemen?
Not good.
I mean, I've done nothing this year on
it's not
draft
good, Tony.
So far.
It is not a good draft for offensive linemen.
Kelvin Beachum's not a lock for you?
Well, I mean, his whole thing is if he gets healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, his knee's got to respond. You know, he's take away the Minnesota game where he really struggled, obviously. He's been fine pass blocking for the most part. But his run blocking's not been great. He just doesn't have the drive. You can tell he struggles with it. So maybe after a year, his knee will be back. And if that's the case and that improves a little bit, yeah, you're very comfortable with him being your left tackle.
I would go sign Ron Leary.
Yeah, I mean, you need to get an answer at left guard. That's for sure. Well, and figure out what you're going to do there.
Are they going to – what about A.J. Can? I mean, are you bringing him back? He was better yesterday, wasn't he, Tony?
He was all right. Yeah, not great, but he's all right. Yeah, I think he's going to be back. You can't – listen, you can't turn over the whole thing. I mean, there's only so many guys that are out there that you can get.
All right. So, okay, let's just say – again, we're going to play hypotheticals here. Linder comes back at center. You're good there. You sign Ron Leary or T.J. Lang or a guard like that.
Yep.
Then you're upgraded there. Then Cam would be one guard. Then you got to decide what you do with the tackles. Because I'm sorry, but the right tackle hasn't been great.
I thought he played last couple of weeks. He's played all right.
He's better. He was better yesterday.
Yeah.
The left tackle.
Last couple of weeks.
Left tackle. You don't know because he's hurt.
Yeah.
Then what do you do? Bring Jokel back as a 1 year deal as a reserve or something?
Well, yeah, you're gonna. You're going to get him at the right price. You got to see how his knee is, and that's something you evaluate in the offseason. You make a decision. But I would try to go get some guys, in free agency, mid-level guys, and bring them in to compete. Probably draft a guy in the second, third, fourth round, maybe two, and just try to build depth there. And I mean, Pete, you know it as well as I do. There's a limit. It's limited how many big men exist on this planet that can play offensive line at a high level.
Well,
I mean, across the league, it's an issue.
Well, here's a couple guys. Ron Leary will be a free agent. Zeitler from the Bengals, pretty good player. Larry Warford, T.J. Lang. That's four decent guards that will be available.
Well, you got to imagine, their teams are going to try to sign them back, too.
Right. And tackle-wise, Vollmer, but he's got the issue with his health. Reef hadn't played that well. Whitworth, he's not going to leave there. He's 180 years old. Mike Remmers has been bad. Ricky Wagner's an intriguing guy, the right tackle in Baltimore. He'd be an intriguing guy to look at. But, again, slim picking.
That's my point.
Slim picking.
Everyone complains about this offensive line. This is why I said they're middle of the pack. I mean, because look at the offensive lines around the league. It's a struggle. And then you start getting injuries. And you're playing with your sixth left guard. I mean,
it was unbelievable yesterday.
It's unreal.
Guys going down like flies.
And so it's difficult.
Oh, Warmack, too. Warmack's a free agent, too.
But he hasn't been great.
No.
So sometimes you got to be careful, I think, of just saying we're going to change. But I would try to – I'd go get two or three free agents, mid-level guys. I'd try to go get a couple guys in the middle of the draft and try to beef up the offensive line.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to give you this one. Jacksonville trades for Garoppolo. They give up their two. They hire Mike Smith or Josh McDaniels or somebody to be the head coach. They sign Ron Leary to play left guard. They draft the Garrett kid out of A&M, who's the best pass rusher, with the second pick. Is that a playoff team?
Pete, I don't know.
Is this before or after the Garoppolo trade?
No, Garoppolo's the starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah, because they're trading a second to get him, not a first.
Right,
ideally.
So then
you
got Garrett
you get
the first
third
round.
Pick, right.
Yeah, sure. I think this defense is a pass rusher away from being really good. That's my contention. Offensively,
like
I
if they had Khalil Mack or Vic Beasley or somebody like that, think about that. Vic Beasley, that's a guy, but it's his second year now. He wasn't that good in the first year. Remember, people thought he was a bust.
Yeah.
Let's come back. We'll take more of your phone calls. 355-NFL-1, the number. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I don't feel fortunate at all when you only won two games throughout a season. You know, Gus is not the only man to blame here. We've had a lot of, when you find yourself in an organization where we are right now, there's a lot of blame to go around, including myself. And talking with Shad, I know that we've talked about at length about what we need to do to correct this. And I think looking at this and looking at all facets of our organization, from the football department to our scouting department to our coaching staff, I believe we're going to fix anything that's been wrong.
Dave Caldwell earlier today, Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco working through the aftermath of the Gus Bradley firing. Doug Marone is the interim head coach, and Dave Caldwell's around to hire the new next full-time head coach whenever that happens. Phone lines are open. Let's go to them now. Fruit Cove is where we go next to say hi to Tony's friend Leo. Good evening, Leo.
Hey.
You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, man. How y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call. I promised the man taking my call I'd be brief, so don't hang up on me yet. But real quick, this has been a great show tonight. Bill Parcells has the best coaching tree out. Parcells, Bill Belichick come from that tree, Coughlin, Sean Payton, Nick Saban. I would call a Sean Payton. What's wrong with Les Miles? I don't know where he's been. I think Les Miles would be. Because, Tony, I agree with you 100%. It's like in a job interview, GED required or bachelor's D required. Head coaching experience is a must. And I think Les Miles fits the bill. You call somebody like that. And I'll tell you, Pete, you're right about Josh McDaniels. He is a second-tier Parcells generation tree. But I just don't know if he's ready yet. But I would get somebody. Because look at the facts here. When Tom Coughlin came in, he was the head coach at Boston College, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, and so, but then, you know, Jack came, he was new, didn't really work out. Malarkey, you know, Gus, all these guys hadn't had coaching experience, but Coughlin did.
Malarkey.
Coming from the Parcells tree.
Malarkey.
So I think they had to go back.
Malarkey had head coaching experience.
Did he?
Yes.
Yep.
All right, but I'll say one more point before I hang up, guys. One more thing. The thing I took from the Caldwell interview today, all the questions that were asked, the thing I said a long time ago that stood out to me is when he said he's getting calls, and before where he had to call coaches, I knew that was going to happen because this is a good football team. And I'm not done with Blake Bortles. And you know why Dave Caldwell is not? Because he knows he's attached to that guy. You fail with Gus Bradley, you can't fail with Blake Bortles. You got to give him this last
also
year,
knows,
and I
he
do
also
believe
knows
he's going to turn it around.
Hey, Leo. Leo, he also knows if they're not any damn good, he's going to be tied to whatever the record is. He's going to get fired anyways.
Well,
admitting your mistakes.
I'm going to tell you this.
No.
If Caldwell's smart, I'm going to tell you that your little plan with Garoppolo is terrible, but he does need to draft Dalvin Cook. I'm telling you. Dalvin Cook here makes a lot of sense.
All right, well, you be the GM,
I'm telling
then.
You. Merry Christmas,
Leo.
You guys.
Thanks, Leo.
Hey,
appreciate it.
You know, here's the thing. Some of the greatest GMs in the history of this league have admitted their mistakes. If Bortles is a mistake, Dave has to admit the mistake, period. That's the way it has to be.
Because a winning record next year trumps that. If you win next year, then everything's okay. Right?
Winning trumps everything.
That's right.
It's the only thing. Well, that and the money.
Well, for you, Pete, it's the money, but for everyone else, it's winning.
It's good for
For me, you, it was the money, too. That's why you wanted your big contract all the time. Come
winning.
On.
You want
Tony.
A big contract all the time, Tony?
Don't listen to
I
Pete.
Wasn't around then. Well,
Pete,
let's explain, Pete.
JP, don't listen
He was
to
always
Pete.
Griping about his deal and how
That's
he wasn't
not
paid
not true.
You had a first-round deal. How much?
JP, it's not true. Why? Just because Pete says
wrong
things,
with you, man.
You are a sucker. I mean, it's like the hook went in and just deep into your mouth. And here we go, JP.
Can't
run
spit
with it.
The hook out now. It's
Holy
too late.
Cow.
I want to hear about this sometime, Pete. Let's go to the south side and say good evening to Randy. Randy, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey.
You're on the air, Randy. What's up?
Hey, with the whole new coaching regime coming in, I was wondering, you think they'll keep Todd Wash's defense around the whole Otto Lotto Leo scheme of Gus Bradley?
Well, thanks for the call. Interesting. Top five group, right?
It all depends on who gets hired. I think that's a big part of it. And my guess is, and Pete talked about it, when a new head coach comes in interviews, he's going to have a list of guys that he wants to hire as his coordinators and his assistant coaches and everything else. And depending on what that list looks like, depending on if they have a relationship with Todd Wash, I mean, my guess is they're going to look at it very closely. And if they feel like that is the best option, they very well could interview Todd Wash. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. Well, I mean, Todd Wash is a very good coach.
I think Todd's done a nice job with the team, but like if Mike Smith becomes a defensive became the head coach, he wouldn't keep Todd Wash.
No, he has a different philosophy.
Right.
That's why I said it depends on who the head coach is.
Right.
You get an offensive-minded head coach, more leaning on that side of the ball, maybe you keep Todd Wash here.
Most guys have their own guy, though, Tony. You know
most
that.
Of the time, yes, they do. Most of the time, they do. But it's not. I wouldn't rule it out 100%, Pete. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Let's come back and get around the National Football League. We've got the Eye of the Cat tonight
Eye
behind
of the
us.
Cat, yeah. Great. Outstanding. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for the calls tonight. More with Pete Prisco and Tony Boselli coming up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We continue with Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. I'm JP Shadrick. Jaguars Monday. Glad you're with us tonight. What a show it's been so far. What a day. What a 24 hours it's been, by the way.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
It happened about 10 after 6. The announcement came down yesterday.
Were you guys in the studio?
We were on the air in the scoreboard show last night, so we were in the second half hour of phone calls after the game. The second half hour of the hour-long call-in show, yeah. So the final half hour of programming
What's the mood like been in town today? Where is it a lot of people? I know that there's glee when people lose their jobs. Were they happy? I mean, by Twitter, it looked like everybody was thrilled.
Yeah, I was kind of in the shell of the building today. I didn't get out or hear much today, I'll be honest with you. I heard Tony this morning on the way in.
I purposely stayed off Twitter because I didn't want to. There's no reason to engage. And when people are excited about people losing their jobs, I just don't have much time for that. So I have no idea. I didn't even get on Twitter until late this afternoon, purposely.
It's probably better for your health all the time, Tony.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just getting off Twitter, but.
No, we need you on there, Tony.
Yeah.
We like it when you're getting some scraps every once in a while.
It's not good for me, I don't think.
I'm the same way.
It's just not good.
I have to be on it.
You love it, though, Pete. Come on.
Yeah, well, I like goofing around.
Yeah, exactly.
There. I mean, you know, when somebody, you know, comes at you, you just say, all right, see you, and block them. That's what I do.
I just get tired. I have no time, no patience, no time, no energy to be wasted on people who are excited about someone losing their job. I just don't. But that's fine. I mean, I get it. And it's fans, I understand the frustration of fans and everything else. But I was just not going to engage in that part of it.
All right, let's begin our look around the National Football League. Let's start in the AFC South, where the Tennessee Titans somehow pulled out a win at Frigid Arrowhead, 19-17 the final. They scored. They decided to go for two with 3 minutes to go. Didn't get it. Got a three and out. Missed the game-winning field goal, but there was timeout by Andy Reid. They hit the game winner instead, 19-17. And, Pete, you wrote an apology letter to Mike Mularkey today on your Monday musings.
Yeah, well, because I've been ripping him for the style of play. You know me. I'm not a run-first guy. I think you got to throw the football around the league, but hard to argue with what Mike's doing. You read the first sentence of that, though. There's a little jab in it. I said, I apologize to you, as outdated as your system may be, but it's working. It is working for them. And you know what? I think they're going to win the division because I think they'll beat Jacksonville this week, and then I think they're going to beat the Texans in the final week of the season. They win the division in that scenario.
Yeah, Texans are a bit of a mess right now, right? Quarterback situation,
hey, by the way,
all that.
Yeah. Malarkey got away with that one with 3:12 left in the game.
What are you doing? Kick the extra point.
Yeah, why did
what the hell is he
doing? Yeah, I was going to say.
I was looking around like, is something wrong with Suckup? Like, did he get hurt in the game? I had no idea why. We're sitting here watching it.
What was the did anyone ask him after the game why he did that?
Well, they had no timeouts left, Tony. So their thinking was maybe they don't get I don't know why he did it. I can't figure out why he did that.
Especially with everything on the line. Like, the division is right there. I mean, the Texans are about to, at that point, we're about to lose.
And with no timeouts with no timeouts left, how'd they get the ball back?
Three and out.
I don't think they – or wait, did they have it? Yeah,
it was a two-minute warning. There was a two-minute warning.
No, wait, they had a timeout. I think they had one timeout, if I remember correctly. Yeah. But, Tony, think about this from that standpoint. The Colts go into Minnesota and destroy the Vikings. And they're sitting there late, probably looking at the scoreboard going, we're going to be tied for first place. And then next thing you know, Texans come back and the Titans come back, both, you know, in the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, Indianapolis is scrambling around now.
The Texans have what, Cincinnati this week, if I'm not mistaken?
Texans have Cincinnati on Saturday night, Christmas Eve. And Indianapolis goes to Oakland, which is – brutal game for them on back-to-back road games. Yeah, so, I mean, it's. I think, don't you think Tennessee's going to win a division now?
I've said the last couple weeks they're the best team in the division. I do. I mean, I hope they don't because that means the Jaguars beat them this week. But I think they're the best team. I think they're playing really good defense. They run the ball. They're physical. I think they're a good football team.
Yeah, Tony, they did not have a timeout. They did not have a timeout left. So it went Spencer Ware for 5 yards, West for 3, Alex Smith no gain after the two-minute warning, and they punted.
Wow.
How about that?
Pretty, got away with one.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah, that was a bad call. You kicked the extra point there, and you still try to get the stop because you still have a chance to win it. And worst-case scenario, you go to overtime.
Right. I don't get that one.
The Patriots won their 8th straight division title, earned a bye in the first round. They beat Denver 16-3. They did it on defense yesterday.
Well, that Denver offense isn't very good because they have major offensive line issues. The fact that the Patriots only got 16 points with what that offense has been doing with Tom Brady just shows you how good that Denver defense is. And then you had a little bit of a reported blow-up in the locker room with Aqib Talib and Russell Okung kind of going back and forth at it. And Pete, I thought it was interesting that there was – out of that came the fact that there's been some back-and-forth squabbling between the offensive line and the defensive backs in the locker room over the last couple weeks in Denver. So,
Gary Kubiak, around that Denver – yeah, if you've been around a Denver defensive back group, you could understand why.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise you at all. And Gary Kubiak says the team's not divided, but, it's a team that won the Super Bowl last year and is frustrated because offensively they're just not getting it done. But
bad on offense.
Yeah, they're just not very good. But it doesn't surprise anybody. I mean, coming into the season, did anyone think they were going to be great on offense with the quarterback situation as it is right now?
But they weren't great on offense last year, which goes back to the theory even if you have a great defense – you better have some kind of offense because you might get hot at the right time and make that little push, but it's not sustainable.
And they weren't great on offense at the quarterback position, especially last year. But as far as Peyton Manning had fallen off from who he was for most of his career, he was still a guy, Pete, that could get in there and manage it better than anybody else because he could get you in the right play.
Right. He in the playoff game against the Patriots, he got him into the right play, when he threw touchdown passes. So, yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. The flip side of that, you mentioned the Patriots. The number one scoring defense in the league is in New England. Now, yeah. They haven't exactly played a lot of great offenses, but you got to give them credit for what they're doing. They're the number one scoring defense in the NFL right now.
And that's after getting rid of Jamie Collins in the beginning of the year, and they also got rid of
Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones in the offseason, arguably their two best defensive players.
And allowed Akeem Hicks to walk out the door, who's playing well in Chicago. So yeah, I mean, Matt Patricia, is he a name that should be mentioned as a potential candidate?
Why doesn't he get mentioned, Pete?
Well, I think the perception is, Tony, that Belichick's the defensive guy, so he's the one calling the shots.
Is that true?
That has something to do. No, it's not true. I mean, Belichick influences everything on both sides of the ball. People don't realize how involved he is on offense, too. He's Tom. He's involved in everything.
Patriots going to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
I would agree.
The only team that can beat him? Pittsburgh.
Ooh, the Steelers got a win over the Bengals yesterday.
Pittsburgh doesn't play well in New England, though.
No, that's a problem. But who can? It's Kansas City can't win at home. They're going to go to New England and win?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's tough.
How would a matchup between the Titans and the Patriots be, Pete?
They'd fall behind by like two scores and never be have nothing, no chance to get back in it. That's what would happen.
I don't know. Something about that Titans team. I'm not saying they'd beat them, but everything's close with them because of the style they play, and they run the ball so well, and their defense is playing better and better as the year's gone on. You know,
the clock and cash in at the end.
I think in the playoffs, bad weather, that team is as much as anybody else is built to play that style of football.
I'd say this. I think they have a better.
I'd still pick the Patriots. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, I'm looking at in the AFC. I mean,
but don't you think the Steelers are the one team though? Yeah, if everything's going.
They'd be the favorite, but historically they've not played well against the Patriots.
They've got the firepower to get it done if they need to. Yeah. The other side, the Cowboys with a win over the Buccaneers last night. Ezekiel Elliott jumped into the pot after the touchdown, which was interesting.
Yeah, they took a 17-3 lead, and then after that didn't do much, and the Buccaneers were trying to get back into it. Yeah.
I love where we are as a NFL watching Twitter/police. You would have thought that Dak Prescott threw for 350 yards and four touchdowns the way everybody reacted to him last night. And don't get me wrong, I've been a Romo guy. I thought Romo should have played. I still think I've talked to too many coaches in this league that even when they're ready in the place, the Cowboys have told me, look, they're glad Prescott's playing and not Romo. But the guy was good last night. He really was. I can't take away from him. He was, what, 32 or 30, 33 or 38
really
or whatever?
Really efficient, yes.
But he threw for 260 yards or whatever and no touchdowns. How many times did he throw the 8-yard pass to Jason Witten for completion? I just think that we overreact to every. Oh, even Al Michaels last night, some idiot asking the question about Romo should be the quarterback. That game answered that question after three straight going under 200 yards?
Who gives them a better chance to win the Super Bowl?
To win it all?
Yeah.
Tony Romo.
Even though he hasn't played all year?
Who gives them the better chance for the long run? Prescott.
So even though Romo has not played much, you think if they went with Romo right now, he gives them a better chance?
The ball would be driven down the field, Tony. How easy is it to defend a team when the quarterback won't drive the ball down? You know how the playoffs get, Tony. It tightens up. Those little soft little windows and zones and all that, it ain't going to be there. You know how quick those things fill up in the playoffs. You got to anticipate throws. I don't think he anticipates throws that well.
What team's best suited to beat the Cowboys in the playoffs in the NFC?
Well, the easiest thing to say would be the Seahawks. But remember, whenever the Cowboys and Seahawks have played in recent years, when the Cowboys have been good, they bully them. Because that Seattle team doesn't like to get pushed. You know that. You're an offensive lineman. When you bully the bully, they don't like it. And remember, they went up there a couple years ago with DeMarco Murray and beat him when they ran the ball in the fourth quarter for 100 yards against them. I think Green Bay. I think, again, I'm going to go back to my theory on the two teams that nobody wants to see in the playoffs and nobody will want to play. It's Green Bay and it's Pittsburgh. And I think Green Bay wins out, and I think they win the division.
What about the Giants?
They're the other one.
They've already beat the Cowboys twice.
They're playing some ball
and,
now.
And they're playing good football.
And their offense isn't playing great, but you know that quarterback can get it done in crunch time and clutch time because he's done it before when he has to. So, yeah, it's a matter of getting their, you know, their defense is playing great football.
I think the NFC playoffs are going to be very interesting because I actually
– Yeah, the AFC is easy.
I think there's four teams that can win the NFC championship. I think it could be the Packers if they get there, which I think they will. I'm with you, Pete.
Seattle,
the Giants, or Dallas.
What about Atlanta?
I don't think they're good enough defensively.
I know they're getting better, though, on that side of the ball. I'll say that. I do think that they've improved greatly there.
Interesting to watch down the stretch here.
I look forward to the day when we can be talking about the Jaguars down the stretch.
I don't even know what that's like.
Maybe you're the problem.
Maybe
you,
I am.
You are the problem, JP, because ever since you arrived, the thing's gone down the toilet.
That's great. That's real nice. That's real nice, Pete.
Maybe the Jacksonville jumbo shrimp. Is that what they're called now?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the jumbo shrimp?
It is, yeah.
The old sons?
Yeah.
Maybe the jumbo shrimp need a...
I think I'm good. I've done enough of those for a while. I appreciate it, Tone. I'll go back on Pete's show.
He's trying to run you out of there.
I know. Well, I mean, what is this? I mean, I know we're... I mean, people got fired today, but don't continue
it. I'm just joking, JP.
No, you're not, liar. Interesting to watch. Now, here's a question. Back at AFC South. Of the teams... It sounds like you guys think the Titans are going to win it. If the Texans end up winning it, are they a 30-0 boat race loss in the playoffs again like last year?
Say that again?
They lost like 30-0 in the first round last year. The Texans, right?
Yeah.
Kansas City? Similar result? Are they a team built to do anything in the postseason?
No, they're not.
There's no chance for them.
What do you think of their defense, Tony?
I think they're pretty good, Pete. I think they're well coached, good scheme, and they got some good players. And they were shorthanded yesterday, but Clowney's playing good. Bernardrick, the linebacker, is a really good player. Their secondary's strong. I like them. They're a good unit.
They are well coached.
They're very well coached. Yeah. Good unit. Offensively, though, they're just not very good.
They're terrible.
Savage is better than Osweiler, I'll tell you that much right now. You talk about an issue. If you're the Texans, you got $34 million wrapped up, so he is on your roster for another year.
Yeah, but Savage now has to face the next step, which is okay. Now you're not coming off the bench; you're the guy.
Oh, I agree. I'm not saying he can do it, but he looked a heck of a lot. I wish they would have never benched him because the Jaguars win that game if Osweiler stays in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that he's better, but we don't know how good.
We do not know.
Another team that's going into next year with quarterback issues.
They have major issues because that's $34 million guaranteed, 2 years. So that's another $17 million next year on the books that they can't get out of.
Ain't nobody coming in to trade for him either.
No.
No chance.
No, hell no.
No, he is on your roster next year.
And let me say this, too, by the way. There's a perception out there that, look how smart John Elway was. He let him go. John Elway offered the man $16 million a year, by the way.
That's right. And John Elway right now is thanking his stars, that the Houston Texans. He should call up the Texans and send them a Christmas, or send them a Christmas carol, a Christmas card, maybe a good bottle of wine saying, thank you for taking Brock Osweiler off my hands. Thank you for offering an extra couple million bucks.
And then he had to hang up and take the operator and say, call the other side of the other part of Texas, and call Jerry Jones and say, "What do I need to get Tony Romo out of there?"
Interesting.
The only thing I worry about Tony Romo, Pete, is his health. Yeah. He's had some major injuries the last couple years. Yeah. Very fragile, like as far as the type of injuries. Even the injury he got in the preseason, it didn't look like he got hit hard.
It was an awkward landing.
Yeah, it was awkward, but
behind.
It was just strange. I think Tony Romo's a very good quarterback. I just worry about his durability moving forward.
Yeah, if he lands on the side, he'll break a collarbone.
Especially
again.
With that Denver offensive line. Holy cow.
So all that's coming up. Hey, it's time for Monday Night Football. Cam Newton and the underachieving Carolina Panthers at 5-8. Visit Kirk Cousins and the playoff hopeful Washington Redskins at 7-5-1. Who you got tonight?
I'm going with the Redskins.
I'm always going with the Redskins.
They're playing for something too. Well, I pick them all the time because my buddy's the defense coordinator. But I actually really do think they're going to win this week.
I think they're going to win this week, and you know, motivation is big in the NFL. They're playing, like Tony said, they're playing for something. But Carolina lost two tough road games, went home, and put a lot into winning in front of the home folks last week when they beat up, when they beat San Diego. I think they're going to be flat tonight, and they're not very good. That's a bad combination. I like Washington big in this game.
Yeah, I think Washington wins. If Washington wins next two, they're 7-5
three.
And one. Next three, Pete, do they get in at 10-5-1?
Yes. And wow. They play typical Washington, though. They'll look great tonight, and they play the Giants last week of the season. And might win that game. They go to Chicago and lose next week.
They won't lose to Chicago. There's no way.
I don't think they will either. But Chicago played Green Bay pretty tough the other day.
Matt Barkley. They're saying he might be the answer.
Where do you go to school?
USC, baby. Mm,
of course.
USC.
Quarterback.
By the way,
got paid in college, too.
There's a quarterback at SC right now that in 2 years.
Took a devotion.
In a year. Actually, a year from now.
Sam Darnell is a good player.
He'll be a third-year redshirt sophomore next year.
Eligible after that.
I think he should go to the NFL. I'm all for it.
Yeah, because you don't want him beating up on your sorry Sun Devils.
No, but yeah, but then
well, you guys are in a good position down there at Arizona State, Pete. You got that great coach coming back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. As long as they keep beating up on him, then they get rid of him. I don't care if he won 9 games next year. I want him out.
Love Pete.
Yeah, a grizzled alum. Seen a lot of losing in Tempe. Hey, Pete, have a great show, will you? Tonight.
You know what we need to do, JP?
Yeah.
What they do at Alabama to get players.
What's that? Recruit.
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 But I don't know how they do it. But why does anybody want to go to Tuscaloosa? I say it all the time.
Have you been to Tuscaloosa, Pete?
Yes.
What's wrong with Tuscaloosa?
Have you been to Phoenix?
It ain't Tempe or Los Angeles. I know that much.
Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas.
Have a great holiday. Pete Prisco.
You too.
Joining us, CBS Sports senior writer. We'll come back. Tony and I will wrap it up. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments of Jaguars Monday. Pete Prisco's out of here. Tony Boselli, JP Shadrick. Oh, boy, what a day it's been. The Jaguars have a change at the top of the coaching tree here. Gus Bradley's gone. We heard from him today. The entire comments from Gus Bradley, the entire press conference, I should say, is on Jaguars.com. We heard from Dave Caldwell today, certainly. His entire press conference is there, as is Doug Marone's comment from earlier. So check all that out on Jaguars.com this evening, tomorrow, over the next week or so. You're going to hear names everywhere. We talked about a few of them tonight. That's just going to start. That's how this thing works, especially nowadays. But the focus of the football team is still going to be this Saturday's game against the Tennessee Titans here at home. Home game.
I think it is difficult, though, because of all the chatter and the noise out there. And I think as a player, you got to block it out and as a, you know, and I think what we also forget is the coaching staff, because these are guys that are focused on trying to get this team ready, but at the same time, they're also realistic that there's going to be a change and they're going to be looking for new jobs.
Right.
And this is their livelihood. So think about it as an everyday person, knowing you're going to be out of work in a couple weeks.
You better get ready for something next.
And you have family, a wife, kids. You're gonna have to move. You need to find employment. You got to pay the bills and
sell the house. All that.
I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. Kids are in schools, and so human nature is you start worrying a little bit. Start thinking about all the things that have to be done, all the things you have to do. And these guys are pros, and they're gonna. Trust me, they'll be giving a great effort and talking to some of them and being down there today. They're working and game planning hard for Tennessee, but don't think for – I mean, I think it's impossible for those thoughts not to come in your mind and start thinking about all the things that are about to happen to you as an individual.
Yep.
And a lot of times you see in situations like this, guys, you know, and I'm not saying any of them are, but you start making phone calls and reaching out to your contacts.
Well, you have to, because you'll be left in the cold.
And I don't think you can blame them. So that is a distraction, and when that happens, it makes it difficult. So it's never fun. It's never great. And so you do your best. You focus on the task at hand the best you possibly can, with the, but also being realistic that I'm going to have to find a new job here in a couple of weeks.
What do you expect the reception to be Saturday here at Everbank Field?
No idea. It's Christmas Eve of a 2-12 football team.
Hard to say. 2-12.
Just had the head coach fired, so the direction is up in the air as far as what's going to happen in the future and who that guy's going to be. I really don't know what it's going to be like. I have no idea.
You've been around for every one of these, the changes, coaching changes, right? Even with when Tom was gone, you were the organization.
No,
you were in town.
I was out of town. I was in Houston, actually.
You were in Houston when that happened.
Yeah.
So you missed that one. But you've been around for all the rest of them.
Yep.
How does this one compare? I mean, can you? Is it a different
scenario?
No, I think
it's always different. And I think this, you know, they're all tough, and you hate when it happens to any of them because for me, you never like seeing guys get fired.
No.
You just don't like to see that. This is a scenario where everyone liked Gus and everyone in the building liked Gus. I think everyone was rooting for Gus and the staff to make it happen. And so I think it makes it maybe even a little bit harder. So there was I think if you asked everyone to a man or a woman in this building, they liked Gus. They liked the staff. They liked what was going on. He was very accommodating to work with for all of us, everything we do.
No doubt.
Made our jobs easy. And because of that, we're all rooting for Gus, and we liked Gus. And so I think it makes it a little more difficult because that's not always the case. You know, sometimes there's stress or tension between the football side and the non-football side. But that was never the case. So I think it makes it even more difficult. When the news came down, I think everyone was understood from the standpoint of the business side of it, but we're sad to see it happen because, no one wants to be 2-12, obviously, but I think everyone was hoping that this would get turned around with Gus Bradley as the head coach.
So we'll find out over the next few weeks what happens.
Yeah. I'll be excited when it's over.
I agree.
Process. This is, because you start getting all these, rumors.
We went through it in 2013.
The rumors and who's this and, you hear that. And just I look forward when Shad Khan makes the decision, him and Dave, who the head coach is going to be and move forward and get going. But I'll tell you one thing, and I know you agree with this, and Joe and everyone who's listened to us and everyone in this building and all the fans. I'm looking forward to the soon when we're talking about the playoff run we're making and playoff positioning and where we're going to be seated for games in January. No more of this 2-12 talk.
Yeah, maybe the upcoming bye week before the postseason
for
the Jaguars.
That'd be nice.
Well done, Tony. Feel better, man.
I'll do my best.
Feeling better. Tony Vaselli.
Improving.
Yes, getting better. Pete Prisco. Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening and watching. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.